right. People, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
So end of the world.
I ain't going with you. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Palmer!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes, and I'm joined by my big brother Adam over Zoom in America. How are you?
Hi. So I'm experiencing some strange voodoo in the air here because we record sometimes, listeners, we record episodes back to back. You may remember at the end of the last episode, I shouted the word vote because I want people to vote because I don't want to live in a fascist state. I shouted the word vote. 2 seconds later, I got a text. My phone. Vote.org. Massachusetts voter registration deadline is coming up. Would you like to verify your voter registration?
Yes.
So by screaming the word vote, my phone, which is lying right here, was listening and has texted me about voting.
Nice.
So this is the world we live in, and this is a world of constant electronic surveillance. So yeah, anyway, so you find me a little creeped up.
That's a bit like that's like some Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, but that's what we're living in. We're living in the fucking Twilight Zone. I watched that classic episode with the guy on the wing of the plane.
There's something on the wing, something.
It's wild. That's a really good episode to see.
Yeah, it's annoying that like some of those, because it's on Netflix in America, isn't it?
The Twilight Zone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's annoying that they can't. It's not available here. You can get all the episodes on DVD or Blu-ray, which I would like. Christmas wish.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
Yeah. You mentioned off podcast that you would like the Chernobyl DVD, so I'll make.
Yes,
note
I would.
That.
I would like that one. I would like that very much. And I will. I'll give you a wish list, shall we say? But basically, every Christmas,
I'll give Anders you a wish list.
Yeah, I'll give you a fucking wish list. Every Christmas, listeners, Anders and I just exchange like a stack of 10 DVDs.
or books.
That's what's happened for the last 10 years.
Yeah, we have not changed at all. But
No.
So yes, it seems like autumn is kind of moving its way in.
You choose interesting phrases. Autumn is moving its way in. Yeah, it's moving its way in, all right. It's getting cold.
Into our hearts and making us feel warm.
I have to show you. Wait a second. Are you filming this? Are you putting this on YouTube?
Yes, I am.
Okay, wait a sec.
Okay. Dum de dum 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 dum. Ba-dum. What the hell is that?
That's what I'm asking you. What do you think this is?
It looks like a banana.
It's not a banana. It's quite heavy.
It's a pumpkin? Squash?
It's in the but yes, it's a kind of a squash. It's called a carrot.
Hello.
it's called a Carolina candy roaster, apparently. I went to the market yesterday to pick up that we have this.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. We have this weekly pickup thing from the farmers market where they give us a box of different vegetables.
Interesting.
And I went to pick this up, and he was like, "Do you want help carrying it?" And it was just a box, and I was like, I don't need help carrying that. I've got two arms. I'm not exactly Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I can probably get from here to the car. And then he says, no, there's more. And he brings this thing out and lays it on top. And I'm like, fucking hell. I'd already pot committed at that point, and I was too proud to ask for help. So I had to lug this thing on top of the box to the
to
the vehicle. But I have no idea what to do with it. And honestly, I was quite scared last night because it also really reminds me of the seed pods from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So I thought I was going to wake
They're
up.
Here
with,
already. You're next.
You're next. That's what I was frightened of. So yeah. Anyway, yeah. This is a sign that autumn is well and truly here.
So, what are you recommending for us?
I'm recommending one of those films that's a bit of a sacred cow. It's always in the list of, like, Sight and Sound's greatest. It's in the 1001 movies you have to see before you die. It's in the story of film. It comes up pretty much all over the place. And, of course, I'd never watched it because, like, with so many of these imposing black and white European behemoths of cinema, you just think, oh, I'll get around to it someday, but for now I'm just going to sit back and watch The Hunt for Red October for the 50,000th time.
That's a classic.
Yeah, but so I'm recommending not The Hunt for Red October, which I of course I would recommend.
Oh, I got a bit excited there for a second.
I mean, yeah, right, yeah, yeah, no strap in.
Is it Das Boot?
No. The also good. The Hunt for Red October, I'm assuming people have seen. If you haven't seen The Hunt for Red October, this is a bonus recommendation. Watch The Hunt for Red October. But you don't need me to recommend that to you. No, what I'm recommending is Carl Theodore Dreyer's film, Ordet, but that's the mispronunciation of the Danish word, which means the word.
I have seen that film. We saw it at film school.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah.
Where my film school is situated, it is it's on a street named after Carl Dreyer.
So right. It feels
appropriate.
You would. I mean, you're gonna. Well, I mean, and it's probably filmed not too far from there because it's It is a film set in rural Jutland in the early 20th century about a deeply religious family who have a wonderful character at the head of the family. This aging patriarch, Morten Borgen. Or Morten Bolton, played by Henrik Malberg. It's an interesting story, and it is very complicated because it's it's complicated to know what to feel about the film because it's an overtly religious sort of parable. I wouldn't call it religious propaganda. I wouldn't call it go as far as that, but it is a deeply Christian film.
Yeah, it is.
So that's an interesting thing, and that's something to be aware of if you go into it. But it doesn't have anything. It doesn't preach, and actually, one of the film's big themes is this idea of like internal divisions within the same belief structure. There are these two characters in the film, these two aging patriarchs who are in deep conflict with each other because they don't share the same beliefs. They never state what those are, but I imagine that it's like. I think there's some Unitarianism or something going on. I'm no theologian, so I'm not going to start wading into this. But, it is, I think, an interesting critique of that tendency. Interestingly, I think this is a film that the Vatican has included on one of its like essential films list, even though it's about Protestants. So
what's the other film? What are the other films that they have on that list? I've never heard of. I never knew that. That's interesting.
I don't know right now. I just saw this and I was reading up on. I should have looked that up actually. I could do that right now. Let's see. Vatican.
I'll look it up and you carry on talking.
Okay. Yeah. You do that. But the film is about this family, the Bolton family, who live on the farm. There are three sons, one of whom is happily married to the saintly Inger, and one of whom is the sort of the youngest child, and then the middle son is painted at the beginning as being essentially of having had some kind of breakdown or being a kind of a having lost his mind or clearly suffering from some mental health issues, and he is in the habit of wandering the moors in the dead of night and preaching, and it becomes clear very soon that he sees himself as
like a prophet or something.
He believes that he is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
But he looks a bit like Jesus, so, you know. But everyone is like,
what? Like, they're always like, kind of like, it's okay, come on. Like, we're going to put you away. Don't
yeah,
talk about
it. They always tell him to, like, yeah, go back to your room or whatever.
Yeah.
The film's, so that's, you get the setup, and the film's plot really gets going when the youngest son wants to marry the local, the daughter of the local tailor. The tailor is theologically opposed to Morton, and so he forbids the marriage, and so does the tailor. But while they're locked in these negotiations to get the youngest brother's called Anos as well, Anos married off to this woman, Inga, who's pregnant, she goes into labor, and the labor is immediately it's immediately clear that something bad is happening, and sure enough, she does not survive the childbirth. And from then, the third act of the film is a remarkable study of, like, grief and belief. And I won't spoil the ending because I want people to watch it and enjoy it, but it is it's pretty astonishing, and I still don't know fully what to feel about it, but feel something. I know I do. And it, you know, it's a film that was a very Yoda-like sentence. Feel something.
I do not know how to feel about this film.
What was that? Was that Yoda from Pakistan?
that was my attempt at a Yoda impression. Don't know how to feel that this film is.
Yeah.
I should just leave it to Frank Oz.
Yeah. Sometimes Yoda, it's hard. You think, you know, think Yoda's one of the easiest impressions to do, but you can get
you
it wrong.
Do it, yeah. But no, I think.
No, you can. I mean, you can. You just have to make sure you're doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Getting too old. Too old to begin the training.
I'm tired. Vader, yeah. You must confront Vader.
He does have an American accent, Yoda. That's the thing. Vader. Yeah.
I am wondering, why are you here? mine but anyway, back to the film. but the ending is without spoiling it, it's very
I won't give it away,
but I feel like it's one of those endings where it might divisive. I don't know, I wouldn't
probably say, yes,
it's a little bit divisive, and I think it's very, it changes the tone of the film a little bit.
Yeah, when I was thinking about what rating to give this film, I gave it a 4.5 in the end, because I thought of the ending is unequivocal.
Yeah.
And I feel like the film is a meditation, and I think the ending delivers is kind of a sermon in some ways, and delivers a very clear message. And I think the greatness in this film lies in the fact that the message is a humanist one, and the message is one that is, because of its humanism, is kind of unclear and murky.
Yeah.
So that was curious for me. But I mean, I'm not saying it is still a really, really incredible movie. But one of the things that's so great about it are the performances, especially, as I say, this old patriarch Morton, who's just, his performance is just so poignant and moving and full of just utter humanity. Like, they're nice. So believable, these characters. The production design is incredible. The way that it's all pretty much interiors. There are a few exterior shots of moors and stuff, but otherwise it is interiors, and the main one is on this farm. And the deliberateness with which the props and things are chosen is so you know, and the various decorations and what you can, you know, see of kitchen equipment and things like that. It's so careful. And I remember seeing, I think in the story of film, they show an interview with Carl Dreyer where he's like, yeah, you know, we had a farmer's wife come in and set up the kitchen how she would have had it at home. And then he and his production manager went in and started removing stuff, and she was like, wait, but I need all those things. But they were like, no, you just need the essence of them. And it's so, it is such a spare film, and you really feel starved of, like, you know, the images are very static. It reminds me of Ozu. It's you know, he plonks the camera down and you are just expected to be in this
bit John Ford film. As well.
John Ford-esque. But I mean, it's John Ford is also an entertainer at heart. I mean, this is a very quiet film. You know, at no point do the Indians come. It is completely and utterly worth your time. I think certain people will find it like a bit.
It is a very challenging film. I mean, I've not. This is the only Carl Dreyer film I've seen, but I feel like a lot of his films are very challenging in small sort of ways.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, you know, you're gonna be in for like 2 hours of being, you know, it's almost like being in church.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a lot to look at, and it takes some time. But I really don't want to put people off it, because I think for people who enjoy these films of this era, for people who want to see something different, I mean, this film was made in 1955, and you know, when you stack it up against the other films that came out that year that I've seen, you know, which includes one of the films I recommended recently, The Court Jester, or Rebel Without a Cause, or Rafifi, or Kiss Me Deadly, you know,
not one of those movies.
No, this is different, and I don't think it had any real impact outside of you know, the film festival circuit. I don't think it did anything at the Oscars or anything like that.
I don't really know too much about it. I mean, I feel like even living in Denmark and trying to sort of work in films, I should be a little bit more up to date with Carl Theodor Dreyer's films. And I do want to watch more of his movies. And I think you can get them all in like a box set or something. And I just got the Vatican film list up. And two Dreyer films are on that list. This one and The Passion of Joan of Arc. And other films are on that list are quite a few of Andrei Tarkovsky's films.
Interesting.
The Mission by Roland Chaffé with Jeremy Irons and Rob De Niro.
That's a peculiar film, isn't it?
Another Danish film, Gabriel Axel's Babette's Feast.
Oh, that's a brilliant... Oh, you know what? If you like Babette's Feast, you'll love The Word.
Yeah. And it's split into sections because they have religion and then values and then art. So in values, they have It's a Wonderful Life, Schindler's List, On the Waterfront, Intolerance by D.W. Griffith.
I will say it's a pretty good list.
It is a very good list.
The Vatican has a bunch of problems. Let's not, you know, yeah. But this is a great list. Say what you like about the Pope. It's a brilliant list.
Yeah, in art they have 2001, La Strada, Citizen Kane, Metropolis, Modern Times, Napoleon, the 1927
film. Yeah, Balgals.
Eight and a Half by Federico Fellini, which is just an astonishing film. La Grande Delusion from Jean Renoir, Nosferatu, and speaking of John Ford, Stagecoach.
Bloody hell, that's a really... That's a stonking list of films.
Yeah, and
don't listen to Holmes Movies Recommends. Just go on the Vatican website.
Yeah, and then they put Visconti's film, The Leopard, Fantasia, The Wizard of Oz, The Lavender Hill
Leopard
Mob.
Leopard is so good.
And
Lavender Hill Mob.
Yeah.
Why?
And the last film that they have on that list is George Cukor's, well, the film that the Little Women, but directed by George Cukor. I think that was like the first one that they did.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'll add the list to the episode description so people can check it out. There's a Kurosawa film on there. There's a Louis Malle film on there. There's Roberto Rossellini, Bergman, two Bergmans actually. Chariots of Fire and Frank Capra. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting films, and the Burmese harp as well, which is
maybe we can get an endorsement from the Pope.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
You said at least at the Hobbes movies.
Get a nice little trip to the Vatican. But yeah, do you have anything else to say about The Word or the film?
Or the word processing software from Microsoft. I mean, really, just if you like slow, meditative, but deeply heartfelt films about ordinary people, not, you know, very unglossy, no big film stars, just a really subtle masterpiece, then go for it. And And as I say, if you like Babette's Feast, I think you'll like this film. If you like Tokyo Story by Ozu, for example, I'd say the two are quite similar in tone.
I need to watch more Ozu. I haven't seen that many of his films.
Have you seen Tokyo Story?
I haven't seen any of his movies. I have Tokyo Story on DVD, but
That's a fine, fine film.
I have heard he's very influential and very iconic, his films. Like, it, just him and his style.
Yeah. Oh, it's just wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Dryer, not Ozu, but I feel like the two could be sort of spiritual companions. But so watch The Word. Watch
This is The Word, it's The Word, it's got move, it's got feeling. Sorry, I just, when you said The Word, I agree.
do that. I've run out of steam. Okay.
Should we end it there?
I think so. I think it's the only thing we can do.
That concludes another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. Do check back to see what or hear what I will be recommending. And yes, do check out The Word by Carl Dreyer. Is it available? I'm sure it's available on DVD, but any other places it could be available? Streaming sites?
It may well be on the Criterion channel.
Sure,
let's just have a quick look. I believe it's on the Criterion channel in the US. I'm not sure where else one could find it. Definitely the kind of film that was worth investing in.
Yeah.
On DVD. I suspect there is a Criterion copy that you could buy if it's also on their channel. So, you know, have a look around for it. It's really worth your time.
Cool. Well, that concludes another episode. I've been Ernest Holmes. I've been joined by Adam. Stay safe. Don't be an idiot.
Vote. Register to vote. Vote the right way.
Vote for the good.
Good.
It's all for the greater good.
The greater good.
Well, anyway, that concludes. That's it from us. Bye.
Goodbye.